Is it on? Yeah, I'm on.
Okay, Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would take this time. Oh, Lord, I just ask that it would be just that this time would be led of you. Help me, Lord, to communicate simply. Help me, Lord, not to digress. And I just ask, Father, that this would be a thing that builds us up, Lord. A thing that help us to see, Lord, how to walk with you and how to walk with you in the midst of mistakes. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So, it's kind of hard to begin this one, but on Thursday, we had the goodbye thing for Liz. You know, we had a little goodbye gathering. And I was walking to church for the surprise thing. And I had Nina, for those of you who don't know, that's my dog. And we were walking to the church. And as we went by, one of those boxers, the dogs that are tied out there, was loose. And he attacked my dog. I grabbed the belt and hit the boxer to scare him away from my dog. And then the neighbor here, the young one, Michael, came out and began to threaten me and falsely accuse me in a very strong manner. I mean, he threatened to just, I don't know exactly what he said, but he threatened me anyway. He falsely accused me. He said I, you know how the mentality of people that go to church is just for the money and whatever, and called me a thief, that I was stealing from the people of the church, and they don't know that I don't touch the money per se. I mean, I have a credit card I can use, but that goes documented and it gets checked out. I mean, Margareta takes the money to the bank, other people make sure, two people count it here. Anyway, I was accused of stealing, of using people from a person that doesn't really know what this church does, what we give to, what we're involved in. And then, obviously, just poison even towards the church came across. That they hate the church being here. It's very difficult for them. Partly I understand. Partly they work at night. In the morning we sing here. And partly we have to understand them. They have to understand us. But the reality is that I blew up. I mean, I blew up like I haven't blown up since I was a Christian. I cursed at them. I called them dung several times in Spanish, but in no uncertain terms. I mean, it was not as polite as that. And I got in his face, and I was about to knock him out. He might have beat me up, I don't know, but I was about to just knock him out. I was just really, 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 really angry. So I left, and, you know, I mean, obviously, I can justify it in many ways. I can justify the fact that, you know, my background, I didn't grow up in church. I didn't go to, I grew up in families that both my stepdad and my dad, there was violence in the house. I was a soldier myself for several years. And after the army, if anything crossed me and I wasn't happy, you know, or if I found myself in a place of conflict, the reality is that I would hit someone while they weren't expecting it so that I could run. But I would hit somebody. So in my mind, I played and I was justifying my anger and my handling of it. And the reality is that what I did was wrong. It was not just wrong. It was greatly wrong. Now, you know, it's not easy because obviously, when you're in that state of anger, you just want to justify the whole thing. But I'm going to do, and this is what I was saying, that this is the message you never want to give. You never want to give a message where you're the illustration of something that went really wrong. You know what I mean? It's not like you can point to maybe that person did that once that we don't know. But when it just happened and you're the one that did it, it's just not a very easy thing. But what I thought would be very helpful would be to go through the reasoning that has gone through my mind in the last couple of days, to sort of reason out, how do we behave in circumstances like this? How do we deal with this stuff that just happened, for example? And how are we to be as Christians? How do we handle stuff like that? And number one, I behave completely wrong because the Bible teaches that I've been completely changed by the Lord, and that I'm to put off the old man and put on the new man in Christ Jesus. So that's part of the first impression that I got, was the thundering of the Word of God in my life. I didn't enjoy much of it, because the whole time I was just consumed by it. But I'll tell you what, the still small voice of the Lord, it might be still, but it ain't weak. The thundering of the Word of God, it was shaking me in my boots. Verses like, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Words like, as long as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. Words like, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believer, and obviously to the unbeliever. And I found myself kind of thinking, oh, Lord, man, I've just blew it. I've just failed. And you know what? The worst thing I could have done, 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we have no sin, we lie. The worst thing I could have done is to say to myself, I've done right and he was wrong, and he's just going to have to toughen it out. Because the reality is that I did wrong. No matter what came my way, I did wrong. Whether he was right or whether he was wrong, it doesn't matter. So how did I deal with it? Well, I looked at those verses and I realized that I had to confess what I had done to the Lord. I just had to say, you know, the very next verse says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all of your sin. And I found myself at a place where I just needed to spend some time with the Lord and just say, Lord, okay. And I'm telling you everything that he did, the guy did, but I had to get to the point, it doesn't matter. What I did was wrong. And I had to say, Lord, I am so sorry for choosing to walk according to the old man rather than walking according to what you've put in me, which is a new creation in the Spirit of God. Confess it. It's amazing. Immediately, the weight that lifted off of me. And the very next thing I needed to do was not only to confess it, but I needed to receive forgiveness. Have you ever done something so bad that you shock yourself? And then you ask forgiveness of the Lord and you just sort of feel like he couldn't forgive you? And you just feel guilty and condemned about it, and you just think to yourself, what in the world did I... Lord, you just can't. And that's called condemnation. Conviction means the Lord tells you, hey man, that's wrong. Hey girl, that's wrong. But you know what? If you confess it and you turn, I'm going to cleanse you from it all. And sometimes to receive forgiveness from the Lord, it's something that we make so difficult for ourselves, but that God is not trying to make difficult for us. God's not sitting there going, oh, I don't know if they repented enough. Oh, just flog yourself a couple more times. He's just saying, man, I'm just so glad you realized it, because that's not what I want for you. And I find myself thinking, man, I'm just so grateful to have such a kind Lord, such a forgiven Lord. And you know what? Sometimes we're surprised at what we do and we are condemned, really because we're legalistic. We think that we are better than that. We think we are better than that. Remember, Peter says, although all of them deny you, I will never deny you, Lord. He thought he was better than that. And then Jesus looks at him and says, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times that you know me. And he was shocked when he did it. He wept bitterly. And then, obviously, he looked at him, and I think he looked at him with the look not of, I told you so. I think he looked at him with the look of, and I have prayed for you. And when you come back, strengthen your brothers. And the reality is that I grieve the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's all there's to it. There's no buts, ifs. I grieved the Spirit of God. And I didn't just grieve the Spirit of God and not know it. I felt the grief. But you know what? To ask forgiveness, it's not always the end. You know, sometimes we think, well, I confessed it to the Lord and that's it. Isn't it? And then the thunder of the Word of God hit me again with Jesus when he says, if you go to the altar and you go bring an offering and you remember that your brother or someone has something against you, leave the gift there and go and make it right. So yesterday I'm bringing the gift of preparing today's message. And the Lord just spoke to my heart and was like, well, so guys, I had to eat some humble pie. You ever eaten humble pie? It's just tough, isn't it? I had to eat some humble pie. And it wasn't just, I was hoping to get in and out quietly. But no, Jimmy was there. Where are you going? Right here at the door, right in front. And I'm going, I'm going to apologize to Michael. Then I went to Michael's dad, who was outside in the garage. And I said, look, I need to go talk to your son. And he said, no, don't talk to my son. No. And he literally was pulling me not to go. Literally was pulling me not to go. And I had to say to him, look, I have to go. And he was at the living room table. I could see him from the front door. And I said, Michael. And he got up, bit stunned, a bit not sure what was going on, a bit wasn't sure if to confront me or sort of listen to me. He wasn't sure what to do. And I had to say to him, a 20-year-old, don't get me wrong, it's not that I can't do it, it's just that it was humbling for me. I had to go to a 20-year-old and say, I am so sorry. I should have never insulted you. I should have never threatened you. You've asked me not to direct my words to you anymore, and I shall not do that anymore. And I shook his hand, extended a hand, and he gave me the hand. And he smiled, I smiled, and I walked away. You know, sometimes to say sorry, like the commercials say, is not enough. If we've done wrong, there are things that we can make right. And it's not godly to stay in situations where we've done wrong and we can make it right and we just sort of rest on forgiveness. I've tried many years. I'll tell you another one I had that it was a wrong and I had to make right. I had student loans. And for a long time, I just thought, they'll forget about them, I'll forget about them, and they will be happily ever after. And I'm talking about for 10 years, the Lord pursued me quietly, but thundering, saying, you've got to pay that debt. Slowly, however you do it, but you've got to pay that debt. It wasn't enough to sort of receive forgiveness from the Lord without making that right, that I could make right. And it took time, but a few years later, I paid that debt, and it was done. But you know what? Repentance means, a confession means you agree, yes, what I did was wrong. Repentance is you make it right. You turn around to make it right. And you know what, guys? If we don't know how to confess and repent, our marriages will be in shambles. Our friendships will be in shambles. Our churches will be in shambles. Because confession and repentance, confession to the Lord and repentance to man, obviously, and asking forgiveness from those that you have sinned privately, it doesn't have to be a public thing, privately, it's a basic principle of the Christian life. Now, let me ask you something. Why was it wrong what I did? Why was it wrong? You see, the day we became Christians, we ceased to have the liberty to behave like just mere men. You see, we were given the gift of a new birth with a new power within us to enable us to live above fallen man, not in a superiority complex, but in a lifestyle. We are children of the living God. Our Father is our provider. We have been forgiven so much. We're going to spend eternity with Him. There's no, not because I sin, oh, I'm not going to heaven now. No, wait a minute. I make it right. I'm still in fellowship with the Lord. I'm going to be with Him. And because of all of that, I should walk differently than people that don't know Jesus. And that to me is the great sin of it. It wasn't so much I cursed. It wasn't so much I threatened. It was like I grieved the Holy Spirit who sealed me and said, man, I love you so much and I've given you so much. I want you to be different. Listen to what it says in 1 Peter 2:12. It says, beloved, I beg you as sojourners. Can you imagine Peter the apostle begging? I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, man, that's exactly what happened. When they speak to you as evildoers, they may by your works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. So in a sense, I failed because my actions didn't bring glory to the Lord. On the contrary, you know what he said to the other people that were around there? When I went to talk to them and explain what had happened, you know what he said? Well, shouldn't he be different? And I thought, I'll show you different. You know, in that moment, I was so upset. But you know what? It was true. Shouldn't he be different? Paul tells Titus, remind them, the people of God, to be subject to rulers and authority, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Look what it says there. We were once like that, and God wasn't rude to us. He was kind to us. And that was what was so amazing. And later on it says, actually in 1 Peter 2:23, it says, He, Jesus, did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously. He bore our sins on His own body. And we, and I'm speaking to all of you, some of you have just become Christians, some of you backslid and are just coming to the Lord, other of you guys have been walking with the Lord forever. And the reason I'm sharing this with you guys today is for me, because it's a lesson I learned, but for you guys, God has not called us to be the same. God has called us to change. You know, we have people here from all different backgrounds, and sometimes we sort of develop the mentality, this is just who I am. I was a soldier who used to wake up with vomit all over me. Doesn't mean that I can just say, oh yeah, this is the Lord whom I love, and I just continue that way. He's called us to be different. I told you a bad story about myself. Let me tell you a good story about myself to sort of balance it. We went to Carrefour. How long ago? 3 weeks ago? Four weeks ago, we went to Carrefour and we bought a big shopping, and within the big shopping was a big bag of dog food. 15 kilos of dog food, 41 euros. Now you know how much my dog food costs. And we got home, and Loretta's looking through the receipt, and she realizes they didn't charge us for the dog food. My first impression was like, why did you tell me that? Why did you even look? You know, why did you look? Because immediately, as soon as I know, I had a dilemma there. I had a moral problem. And I didn't say anything for a while to Loretta. And I think the day after, I said to, no, was it a couple, same day, a couple hours later, I just said, Lorde, we got to go pay for that thing. And she goes, I'm so glad you said that. Now, this is temptation. We all go through these temptations, don't we? Well, we waited 2 or 3 weeks just to enjoy it, I guess. And no, I'm just kidding. We just didn't get to Porto Pi in time. But I kind of wanted to make a joke with the lady at the reception, you know, at the customer service thing. So I brought in an empty bag because I dumped it into a container. And I went with the empty bag. And the lady looks at me and says, how may I help you? And I look at her and said, yeah, my dog didn't really like this food. I would like the money back. And she looked at me, and she was so nice because she smiled at me, and she said, well, you ain't going to get much back. I mean, he ate it all. So she laughed, and I said, no, you know, actually, we were here a few weeks ago, and we weren't charged this, and we've come here to pay it. She didn't know what to do with herself. She looked at the guy next to her and said, hey, Do you see why they're here? And he's like, what? And he's like, someone didn't charge them and they come to pay. And then another one, you know, they come with their roller skates, and she just comes with her roller skates, and she just shows up there, and she's like, and they're like, did you hear what happened? They weren't charged, and they want to pay for it. And she looks at me and she says, we just don't know how to handle this. This has never happened to us before. Never happened to us before. Now, I'm not trying to... The point I'm trying to make is that people wonder when they see something different. And we didn't go there and say, oh, well, that we did it because we're Christians. Because I didn't go to that guy and say, I cursed you because I'm a Christian. You know what I mean? It's just like we didn't go there sort of showing it, because I know in time the deeds of a good man, they follow him. And the evil deeds of another guy, they follow him too. And I remember Brenda was here and we went to help a guy, a family, to go to prison and translate for them, and never saw him again. Didn't even tell him we were a Christian. And can you believe the other day I went into a coffee shop and there he was. He was the waiter. And he found out that I was the pastor of the church. I didn't have to tell him, I'm helping you because I'm a Christian and that's just what I do. No, I just helped him as a human being, endued by the grace of God. And then afterwards, those works sort of follow. I'm sure this one will follow me too. But the reality is that we're called to be different. We're not called to be the same as everybody else. What did John Piper say about TV, Lorde? He said, the danger with TV is that it desensitizes you. It helps you to think of a life without God. And it's true. You watch the sitcoms, and I love Big Bang Theory. You know, I like The Cosby Show, and I like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and all those things, you know. I love sitcoms, but have you ever noticed that they never bring in, that God is not in the picture? Thinking like God does is never in the picture. And we, the Bible says, we are to be transformed. Our minds need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Let our bodies be a living sacrifice. So that's why it was so wrong what I did. The other thing is because it continues from it. It's not because I like it personally. I didn't like going to apologize. I didn't like to go pay for that thing. It was the right thing to do. I could consider the guy, but it's not like you get up and say, yee-hee, I almost got away with it. Now I got to go pay 41 euros, you know? It's like any penny we save is always nice. But you know what? The Bible teaches that as Christians, we are bond slaves of the Lord. We don't do our own desires. We don't even do it when we feel like it. We do it because He said it. You guys know the slave story of Exodus 21, right? Exodus 21, it says, now these are the judgments which you shall set before them. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve 6 years. And I'm just going to draw the parallel real quick. Jesus bought us by His blood. Okay, so if you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve with you for 6 years. Jesus paid for us with His blood. And in the seventh, he shall go out free and pay nothing. If he comes in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he comes in married, and his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife, and she has borne him sons and daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. But if the servant plainly says, I love this, if the servant plainly says, I love my master, my wife and my children, I will not go free. Then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or the doorpost. And his master shall pierce his ear with an awl. And he shall serve him forever. In that picture, I believe that that is what Paul, when he said, I am a servant of the Lord, I am a bondslave of the Lord, I believe that's what he meant. I believe he was bought by the blood of Jesus. And at one point, I mean, remember at the beginning, he was an enemy of Jesus. I'm sure that first day he sort of had a battle. He's just like, what's going on? I never liked you. And he walked with the Lord for several years. And at one point he just says, you know what? I am a bondslave. I love my master. I do whatever he wants, however he wants, not because I have to, but because I love him. I love Jesus. He's given so much for me. Why should I not give all to Him? This is why, incidentally, when we walk our lives and we are confronted with choices in life, say girlfriends, boyfriends, job opportunities that compromise the gospel, say different things that come our way, at times, we almost have to choose. What do you want? Do you want to walk in harmony with me? Do you love me? Or do you love that stuff? And I think that one of the dangers that we can do is to fall in love with the stuff rather than with the Lord. And we find our lives in shambles. So anyway, yesterday I was... You ever discover a new song? Right at the right time. Well, I'm going to play you a song Can you put it up as well, the lyrics? And I'm going to play you a song that has to do with these verses.
It's really an emotional here today.
The day you heard my plea, you looked right through me. You saw the pit I was in. You came and pulled me out. You set my feet upon a rock and put a new song in my mouth. Then you called me your own and I'll never turn you back.
I just found myself with a choice to make, you know. Was I going to give in to sort of the temptation, the fueling within my heart? Or was I going to say, man, it says, you looked right through me. You saw the pit I was in and you came and pulled me out. You set my feet upon a rock and put a new song in my mouth. Then you called me your own and I'm never turning back. I had to realize, man, you know what? I love Jesus. He's my master. And I don't want to be free. I want to live in liberty. Isn't that a paradox? I don't want to be free. I want to live in liberty. And I just found myself, if I just hold on to this, they wrong me, and I don't listen to Jesus, I'm in bondage. I'm not free. If I make myself a slave to Jesus, I'm free. And I tell you what, the freedom, there's still a heaviness, don't get me wrong, because it wasn't a pleasant situation, but the freedom of turning away and turning to the Lord was amazing. See, I can't worry about what everyone else has done wrong to me, and through that justify all the wrong that I do. You know, it's just like, and we can be like that. My dad left me, and I'm just going to be like this because I'm just angry because my dad left me. And this girl, she betrayed me when I was 16. She was the love of my life, and she dumped me. And then my stepdad, he just threw stuff around the house, and that's why I am the way I am. And then this guy, he just yelled at me, and I just told him how it was because he wronged me. And we constantly live lives of what they've done to me, me, me. And I think the question that the Lord would ask us, what do you do about what you have done? And that's the question that came to me. Are you going to do what is right? No matter what he did, I was wrong. And the thunder of the Word of God just spoke this verse to me. What does the Lord require of you? Remember that verse? Those questions that God asks us are just amazing. What does the Lord require of you? I like to switch it all around. You know, I like to switch verses around. What does the Lord require of you? That you love mercy. I would like it that other people would be merciful to me, and that other people would be just to me, so I could walk just on cloud nine with God. It doesn't say that. The sad thing is, it says, "What does the Lord require of you? That you do justly. You love mercy. Have compassion on people." And walk humbly with the Lord. And listen, we're not talking about false humility. We're not talking about feeling humble. We're talking about when you feel so proud that you actually have to pick yourself up and say, I got to go humble myself and I don't feel like doing this. You humble yourself. Dave Shirley said to me, he's a pastor in California. I mean, you know, he's the director of the whole school there. He's a pastor of the school church there. And which is much larger. I mean, they have hundreds of students. And he says the pastor's conference was going on, and he was washing dishes to be humble. And then all of a sudden, somebody gave him an apron to put on. And he said, when I saw that apron, I thought to myself, I'm not putting that on. Then people will think I'm the dishwasher and not a pastor who's humbling himself to do the dishes. Crazy, huh? Crazy, because then he says to me, Raph, that's what it means. Clothe with yourself with humility. Clothe yourself with humility. And it's not pleasant, but it's needful. What about justice? Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that the law doesn't deal with wrongs that are done to us. It doesn't mean that we can't have self-defense in our midst, you know? But what about justice? Well, I can give you two answers. And they are hid and have to be entrusted to the wisdom of God. I can tell you two possibilities with those that have wronged me. Number one, that God will judge them. Or number two, that God will save them. And who am I to judge that? It's crazy. Who am I to judge that? Because Paul was in prison singing hymns to the Lord, and he got flogged by a jailer. And he didn't curse at him. He didn't threaten him. No, he went into that deep cell and he just sang to the Lord. And when the earthquake came, and when he was free and everyone's going free, and it was gonna cost him the jailer's life, The jailer was about to kill himself, and Paul says, do yourself no harm. And the guy came to the conclusion and says, what must I do to be saved? So imagine if Paul would have just sort of smashed the guy, taken one of the clubs and just hit him over the head with him, knocked him out. I mean, it's just like, that's the guy that Jesus wanted to save. On the other hand, you have Herod. And Herod killed James, and he tried to kill the Apostle Peter, Acts chapter 12. And the church is just praying for Peter to be delivered, and Peter is delivered. And all of a sudden, have you noticed the end of the beginning of the chapter says a great persecution through Herod arose? And then at the end of the chapter, it says the word of God went forward and Herod died. He was eaten by worms. And do you see why it says, commit yourself as to a faithful creator? He's the shepherd of your soul. He loves us so much that if anyone wrongs us, we need to rest on the wisdom and the power of God that either He will take care of it and bring vengeance on our behalf if it's needful, or He will just save them. And either way, we have nothing to complain about. We just need to trust the Lord. What I need to worry about is this. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. And actually, even before. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. And then it says, trust the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. I know that every one of you has been wronged here by somebody at one point or another. And funny enough, you know, what you need to do is worry about how you handle the situation and trust the Lord of how they handle the situation and how He handles them. You know what? I've never prayed for Michael. I know Loretta has. I've never prayed for Michael. And this morning I was sitting in that coffee shop studying or preparing or getting my mind set for this and just kind of thought, well, Lord, save him. You know what I mean? Just save him. Get him out of that funk he's in. And bless them. Not saying that justice can come to a person, but man, as far as it depends on us, let us walk with Jesus. Let us be free. Let us love people. Let me close with this. Because I was reading Peter this morning, and I was thinking about taking you through some of it. But let me tell you this. All of a sudden, I was reading Peter, and it's like, man, have you ever read the Bible? I could fellowship with it. Have you ever read the Bible and just kind of think, oh man, this just doesn't, it's not very applicable to my life. I just feel like it's so distant from my life. I'll tell you what, you begin to obey things like that, and you will see how applicable all of a sudden it becomes. Because lately I've been reading the Bible and I just felt like, oh man, I feel so detached from it. And all of a sudden, it's like this morning I was reading and I just felt like, man, I'm so glad, Lord, that I listened to you. Because all of a sudden there was this intimacy, this fellowship with those things, this comfort that came through reading the Word. It wasn't like the thunder of, hey man, you better do something about this. It was almost like, it was a different kind of thunder. When you're persecuted because you're a church in a square that's just singing the Lord and not provoking people to wrath, but just simply being a person, blessed are you, for the Spirit of God rests upon you. And I told him, I mean, I had a great conversation with the dad the same day after it happened. I said, listen, believe me, we don't want to bring misery to you. We don't want to make your life miserable. And he said at one point, he says, look, we just want to move out of here. I said, I would love to move out of this building. I would love. And he looked at me. He says, really? And I said, yes, I'd love to move. He says, why don't you buy my house? He's trying to sell me the house. And I wish we could buy it. I wish we could. I mean, it would be great for the students right there, you know. But the point is that I'm trying to make is that we should not, and I'm telling you this, as we walk through here, we should not be provoking these people and making their life miserable. We should respect the fact that they live there. And if we suffer because we're Christians, because he said, I was accused of brainwashing you, Margareta. And you know what? It doesn't matter. If we serve the Lord freely, the Spirit of God rests upon us. And I want to close with this verse. Turn to 2 Peter. Verse 18, or actually, chapter 2, verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear. Chapter 2, 1 Peter, verse 18. Not only to the good and gentle. Notice that, huh? Not only to the good and gentle. But also to the harsh. For this is commendable if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are being beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. You see the difference? If you do wrong, if I steal and go to prison, well, what grace is that? I mean, what kind of power of God do I have in my life? I mean, that doesn't mean anything. That's what I did. The guy came at me, and I just went right at him. But if you do good and you suffer patiently, that's commendable before the Lord. And guys, children with parents, parents with children, husbands with wives, church members with church members, workers with colleagues. If you get along with people that get along with you, then what has the grace of God done in our life? Everybody does that. But if we're able to live and love people who don't necessarily care for us, the Lord says, that's what I've called you guys, that you would adorn my doctrine by your lives. And the reality is that, I'm ashamed to say, in this action, my life was far away from the things I say. And I hope that in my Christian walk, what I say and how I live will be a very close thing together. And I hope that in my own life and that you in your own life will be able to say, not do what I say, but you will be able to say, watch me. Watch my life. You know what? This is not to beat anyone. I'm sitting here like David when he wrote Psalm 51. Lord, cleanse me that I might teach others from the mistake I made. It's just that. It's not to condemn, but it's like, man, let's make things right in our life. Let's make sure that our relationship with Jesus is untouchable. It's unmarred. Okay? Let's pray. Father,